Welcome back to Hemp Legally Speaking, Frost Brown Todd's podcast on all things hemp, CBD, the laws, the regulations, and the policy thereof. I'm Jonathan Miller, the chair of Frost Brown Todd's Hemp Practice Group, and also the general counsel of the U.S. Hemp Roundtable, the industry's national advocacy organization. Speaking of national organizations in the hemp space, I'm joined today by the leader of one of the most prominent organizations in the country, and also that, as we'll be discussing, has a real global impact on the hemp industry, and that's the National Industrial Hemp Council. And I'm with their CEO and president, Patrick Attagi. Patrick, welcome to Hemp Legally Speaking.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. Greatly appreciated. And for people wondering in the background, I'm actually in Bangkok, Thailand on a trade mission working with the USDA to promote hemp globally. So very excited to, you know, touch base on that today and look forward to, you know, the questions and, you know, comments from Jonathan and, you know, how he dives into this and the questions that I can answer for the U.S. Hemp Roundtable. And what a great organization.
Well, great. Well, before we dive into your trip to Bangkok and what you're doing, tell us a little bit about the NIHC and kind of how you got started and what your all's mission is for the hemp industry.
Yeah, well, thank you for the question, Jonathan. And I do get that question a lot is how did you get into it if, you know, it wasn't, you know, legal until 2014 and fully until 2018. We own a family farm in rural eastern Oregon, about 50 miles from Boise, Idaho. We're as far east in Oregon as I can get. Our farm is actually right on the river, on the Snake River. And when hemp became legal, and thanks to U.S. Hemp Roundtable and Jonathan for accomplishing that major lift and putting us where we are on the map and in the United States and in the world with that tremendous victory, we started looking at growing hemp on our farm. We had basically sold all the personal from my dad. And then we were looking at, you know, what could we do? And we heard, you know, these rumors and, you know, $18,000 an acre and $2,000 input. So obviously on what was left, we looked into it. And the more we looked into it, you know, my colleagues and friends in the farmers in the area were like, well, what about this? What about why? How do we do this? And I just realized I'm doing association work, Jonathan. I'm back to doing what I know. And so, you know, with funding, including my own, we started the National Industrial Hemp Council in March of 2019. So that's how I got started in this from the farm perspective of, you know, another arrow in the quiver of tools that we have. You know, our farm was potatoes, onions were the cash crops, wheat as a filler crop, and then we used to grow sugar beets and other crops and seeds. But, you know, this was one of the few, you know, things that came by that really had legs. You know, we had seen, you know, ostrich eggs and llama wool. We watched them come and go, but this really has a staying power if you look at it historically. And again, you know, thanks to the U.S. Hemp Roundtable. Thank you, Jonathan. That was tremendous. So with that, I find myself, you know, overseas trying to promote hemp. You know, thanks to you, John.
Well, we appreciate the tremendous work you've been doing to help bring the crop to global audiences. But let's talk about Bangkok, Thailand, what you're doing there right now. I assume this is not along the lines of Bachelor Party Part 2, but might be a little bit more serious. But share what's going on in Thailand right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So as a little bit of background, the National Industry Hemp Council won the award for the Market Access Program from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And what that program does, it provides funding, and we receive roughly $250,000 to promote U.S. American hemp overseas and to get it into overseas markets. So, you know, that includes, you know, creating and going to venues. Here in Bangkok, we have a booth at the 2002 Thailand International Hemp Expo. Tremendous support, you know, and that's kind of what we're doing. You know, in the pandemic years, we're doing research. We can use those monies for that and to look at markets. 2022, we spent going to these shows. We were in Berlin, we were in Brussels, we were in Naples, Italy, just looking at the venues. Are these really legitimate? You know, as you know, in the hemp industry, it's new. You know, some things are very legitimate and some things are not. So, you know, nothing better than going there in person. we combine that and I'll put a plug into the Federation of International Hemp Organizations, and which I hope the U.S. Hemp Roundtable can join along with other associations, U.S. and 22 global associations, to talk about how to promote hemp. You know, that's not just marketing, it's regulations and those activities to get a standard globally so we can, you know, market our products. So the funding comes from the USDA, the Market Access Program, and that allows us to, you know, take trips, do pavilions, and we can get into that later, but that's just a really quick answer, Jonathan, of what those funds do and what the National Industry Hemp Council is doing. Actually, we've had tremendous success here in Thailand, so I'm really, you know, excited to talk about that later in the program.
Yeah, so let's delve into Thailand. I think you mentioned when we were emailing about this that Thailand just legalized CBD. Is that the case? And are you seeing more global acceptance of hemp extract products like CBD?
I think it's very slowly but surely happening, just because of the benefits, you know. And as you know, hemp marijuana, you know, was made illegal only really, relatively speaking, a short time ago, in, you know, the late 30s, early 40s, but has been used for millennia. And in rural areas of Africa and Asia, you still see hemp used as a medicinal plant because you can't really regulate to that level in those countries, even though it's illegal in many of those countries. But Thailand did a very unique thing. What, you know, and as I'm seeing it, wishing the United States had done, or hopefully will do, is just legalize cannabis, period. You know, there's no 0.3% Delta 9, you know, dry weight basis. It's just legal. Yes, there are restrictions of, you know, bringing in, you know, CBD from other countries, you know, content levels and those type of things. But within Thailand, you can freely use cannabis. And I think they did it right. And I posted a photo in LinkedIn yesterday. We had the Minister of Health, we had the Minister of Agriculture at the opening ceremony. It's just been amazing. I think they did the right way. Because as you know, Jonathan, even though it keeps you gainfully employed of having to lobby all these issues, you really don't have that many in Thailand. So I think they're a force to be reckoned with. I think it's going to grow, but I think it's also an opportunity for, you know, the United States, as we found. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, these first few days and this show that's been on hiatus for, you know, since 2017, really a lot of excitement, really invigorating. Feels like, you know, 2018, 2019 in the U.S., but with more certainty.
So we talk a lot about on this podcast the challenges for the domestic industry, particularly related to FDA's refusal so far to develop a regulatory path for hemp extracts like CBD, but also the oversupply based on kind of the gold rush in 2019 after the 2018 Farm Bill. Do you see these international markets as opportunities for U.S. farmers and U.S. businesses to sell their products, when particularly during this period of challenge in the U.S.?
That's a really detailed question. And, you know, we would spend, you and I could spend hours, spend hours talking about it. But I do think it's easier for U.S. companies to export just because of the fewer regulations, right? Then it just becomes a matter of, you know, Americans, just give me a fair and level playing field and we'll compete. So I think that's what you have. You know, the issue is the transportation costs. You know, other things, you know, in India, I think their preference is to use local because they know local. In other countries, they prefer to use something from outside the country because they don't really trust the regulatory or government, you know, schemes. And so they'll purchase from outside. So I think that's something to look at. But I think there's definitely an opportunity in what we're seeing in the United States, especially on the food and fiber side. With us on this trip is Chad Rosen with Victory Hemp. We also have IND Hemp here, represented by Greg Noki, and we're having some really good stories. And, you know, if they come through, it would be really good for the U.S. market.
So you mentioned Victory Hemp, which is a hemp food or company, and then IND Hemp, which is hemp seed, grain, and fiber. Do you are those opportunities particularly attractive when you're talking about exporting?
Yeah, they are, because, you know, let's look at fiber in terms of material, and that's really the fastest growing sector in the United States. Yes, it's very small, but progress is being made there, and it's moving very quickly and growing. The acreage in hemp fiber increased 50% since 2018. You know, obviously there was an oversupply of hemp flour, you know, for the CBD market, but still, you know, I personally, this is my opinion, think, you know, you may see a shortage of hemp because farmers aren't growing. And so there's a dwindling supply. So that's, again, that's my opinion. And then you saw the acreage drop, but I do see, you know, the potential in the overseas market, especially with other countries looking at the United States.
So what countries would you put at the top of your list in terms of opportunities for exporting? Do you put Thailand up there? You mentioned you were in Germany as well. Or are there European countries that are particularly attractive to look at for exporting?
Yeah, and I think he answered my question. Obviously, you know, last year you would never have thought to as Thailand as an export market. But, you know, definitely on the fiber side. And the weaving textile in Thailand. I think on the food side, I was talking with Chad. You know, hemp hearts, if you know, I know you've had them. They really have like a nice nutty flavor, a nice texture that's a little bit softer than a peanut, you know, after it's been machined. And as you know, in Thailand, you know, peanuts is a main ingredient in a lot of foods, but it definitely does, you know, have a stronger taste. And, you know, just as other people have different tastes, some like super hot, super spicy. Some are like, oh, I can't eat that. That's too spicy. You know, they adjust the food accordingly. I think, and I'm not going to go into, you know, what Chad's working on. You know, he can speak to that to himself. But I would say, you know, again, as I was giving my presentation, I stumbled upon that going, yeah, hemp hearts would be really good with a lot of Thai food. So there's a lot of opportunity, right? Instead of peanuts, using hemp heart, and it's not a substitute. It's not an alternative. It's a main, it could be very much a main ingredient, used in Thailand. Also from a culture perspective, the Thai are very concerned about nutrition and health and protein levels in hemp are really outstanding. So I think there's an opportunity there. So yeah, I think there's definitely opportunity in the United States, don't get me wrong, you know, but we have to work through a lot of hurdles, as you know. But I think in Germany, again, if we look at, you know, they banned single-use plastics. And I know there's a number of U.S. companies looking at single-use plastics made out of hemp that biodegrade within 90 days. Their adhesive is organic also. So, you know, there's tremendous opportunity out there. And I think that was the greatest thing about Thailand, just the energy and the excitement, you know, it's just very rejuvenating and the potential. And, you know, hopefully we'll have a podcast in about 6 to 9 months with some, you know, pretty big successes.
That's exciting. So you're close to China right now, and at least a lot closer to China than I am in Kentucky. But when we think of China and hemp, we're often thinking of substandard products that are imported from China, seeds that are high in THC, other products that might not be good for consumers. But is there an opportunity for trade between our countries both ways, where we're selling to China as well in a way that will promote health, safety, and the economy?
I think in the long term, yes. You know, it's the agriculture market's always difficult because they can grow a lot. I remember I used to work for the U.S. Apple Associations and, you know, Washington State, you know, they were salivating at the, you know, billions of people and eating apples. But, you know, the Chinese were planting trees and planting orange trees and apple trees. And I cautioned the industry of they're going to eat your lunch. But also, too, they don't really eat a whole lot of apples. And then there's the Japanese market. So it's a lot more complicated than you think. And currently, as you know, there's the ban on, you know, the CBD.
Patrick, I don't know if you know this.
He is writing a letter to Terry. I think it's just.
Hey, Patrick, can you hear me now?
Apologies for that. It's on my end.
No problem. You were saying currently there's a ban on CBD, and then that's when you broke up.
Yeah, into China is dealing with the U.S., and so we're writing a letter, to that effect. We're not appreciative of that. So we can't, we can't even travel. So, part of our funding is into China, but it's just too, unstable and, unsafe for us to be traveling there. But long-term, so, we always have to think about long-term. And I think so. And, Americans can compete. Again, branding, I think if we do it, right. Yeah, sure, there's going to be the cut rate and questionable. But I think that's one of those where the Americans can shine if, we can come in and show that our product is safe. Our product is high quality, consistent. I do think there's an opportunity because, in many places, people just like American things and they'll buy American.
Yeah. So you you mentioned at the outset that you're part of a international federation. I think you're the treasurer, if I remember.
Yeah, that's right.
And I saw that one of the officers was actually from China, and I'm interested in if you could share kind of you all just had your elections. If you could kind of share that organization and what its goals are and who's part of it.
So it's roughly 22 international organizations, as you mentioned, from China, India, South America, Latin America, North America, United States, Canada. Ted Haney is the chair of the board from the Canadian Hemp Trade Alliance. Daniel Cruz is the vice president from the European Industrial Hemp Association, and I serve as the treasurer. And on the executive committee, executive board of the FIHO. And the goal of the organization is to standardize, hemp regulations, globally, share information. So if somebody would want from America to, ship to, as you mentioned, Europe, what are the rules? What are the regulations? How can we work together to harmonize the standards throughout the world, and also just the networking, right? We found as being able to talk to people directly, and hear directly, from government officials who are present at these meetings, what really is the regulation or the law, and that's very helpful. So especially with something like hemp. Or cannabis is, they're very nuanced, especially like in the United States, if you couldn't bring cannabis in through the port. So that's the goal of the organization. And we have, the most, prominent and powerful hemp organizations in the world as part of the organization.
So final question for you is going to be the biggest, which is, having been in the trenches for the last few years and traveling across the globe on behalf of hemp, how do you see hemp's future globally, and particularly in terms of the ability of U.S. farmers and U.S. businesses to take advantage of international trade in hemp and hemp products?
I think so, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done, Jonathan, as to bring back the trust. Especially from the farmers, why should I grow hemp? Also just, the pricing, corn, wheat, soybeans, wheat's at, all-time highs. And why would I take a risk on a crop that doesn't have crop insurance, that doesn't have the backing of the federal government, isn't purchased like fruits and vegetables for school lunch programs to basically bolster the bottom line, for those crops? With that being said, we're here because the U.S. Department of Agriculture believes in the future of hemp. you know, we have an allocation to do research on regulatory analysis of Europe for life cycle analysis, you know, for trade to China. You know, and at the moment, you know, until those doors open, we're doing the research on that and the market access program. And, you know, we're very excited about that. So yes, I believe in the future of hemp, the old Future Farmers of America create, I believe in the future of farming with a faith born, not of words, but of deeds. I think that's a, you know, it kind of fits for the hemp. I believe in the future of hemp, you know, not based on just words, but on what's happening. What are the deeds? You know, people who are purchasing, you know, making good on their commitments. The federal government, you know, we have the Farm Bureau coming up, as you know, and, you know, thanks for the work that you're doing on that. You know, I think that's very important. You know, we just have to come up with the ideas for the Farm Bureau, and we're all, you know, thinking about it. We have our ideas, but, you know, we can also be creative as we're, you know, moving our own agendas. You know, how about hemp as fuel? You know, on the fuel standards, you know, either as the oil itself or as the ethanol content, right? Because it can't all be corn. So I think that's an area to be creative, to use hemp as fuel to answer these climate smart agriculture issues.
So if folks are interested in learning more about what you're doing or perhaps even joining the NIHC, how do they find you and how do they get in touch with you?
Yes, just email info@hempindustrial.com. We've just brought on Daryl Walters for membership, and so you'll see that shortly. And also, you can just go to NIHC, National District Hemp Council, OA of America.com. But just email info@hempindustrial.com or myself personally, P as in Patrick, A-T-A-G-I, like the Atari video game, but with a G instead of an R. So piatagi@hempindustrial.com, and we'll get you signed up. And what really, I mean, why? Why should I sign up? Is to help, you know, learn about these trade missions like we're doing, you know, this week with Victory Hemp and with IND Hemp, you know, and others here, you know, to promote hemp and to understand the program. You know, it's funny, I get questions like, are we going to get paid back? And it's like, yeah, because it's a federal government program. And I just realized, you know, you and I have been steeped in Washington, D.C. and, you know, federal programs. But, you know, most people in our industry are not and they don't know. And the history has been, you know, kind of questioning. But these are legitimate programs to promote commodities. And hemp is one of those commodities that's received federal funding to promote hemp. You know, and we've been placed in charge of that program to reach out to folks to participate. And like I said, I don't want to speak too soon, but I think we're sitting on some pretty big wins from coming here to Thailand. And, you know, all organizations, you know, that have participated will be talking about those, you know, in the next couple of months.
Patrick Itagi, as in Atari, the video game, the president and CEO of the National Industrial Hemp Council. Thanks for joining us. This was Jonathan Miller, as in the beer, with Hemp Legally Speaking. And thanks to our listeners. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode to talk about hemp, CBD, the law, the regulations, and everything you need to know. Have a good one.